today on The Word of Truth Revealed.
David is in a situation, not literally, but emotionally like that, where he's in a cylinder, and unless God shows up, he won't get out of it. See, we got to get to a point where we're desperate for God. It's not just a casual thing. We don't show up or talk to him because we have a need. We talk to him because we love him, and we talk to him because we know he's the only one that can pull us out. So David cried unto the Lord.
Celebrating 30 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, Church Hurt the Myth. Today, Bishop will be teaching from Psalm 130, verses 1 through 4.
The book of Psalm 130, verses 1 through 4. And the word of the Lord reads like this: Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquity, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be what? Feared. That you may be feared. David here is crying unto the Lord after an obvious setback or failure in his life, or after an offense between he and God, or possibly between he and someone in the kingdom. I'm ministering a message entitled Exposing the Spirit of Fraud or Deception. And today I'm dealing with part 1 and 2, a message entitled Church Hurt the Myth. Church Hurt the Myth. It's a myth. A lot of people are claiming to be hurt in church. It's people hurt, not church hurt. The church is still blood washed. The church is still fire baptized. It deals with imperfection, which we are imperfect. There's no need to blame the church for the hurt. It's people that hurt us. And I believe God is going to cause a surge of people to come back to the church. Can the church say amen? Can you all believe with me that God is going to bring people back to the church who once were members of the church, connected with the church? But I began to believe the myth that you get hurt in church, so you should stop coming. There's no other entity in the earth where people stop going because they're hurt. They get hurt by doctors and they go back. They get hurt by nurses and go back. Attorneys hurt them. They still show up. Watch this. Spouses hurt them. There are people who go back to abusive relationships. You love him that much? Yeah. But I thought he sent you to the hospital. He didn't mean it. You love her that much? I thought she took all your money. That's okay. She went on a trip with another man. That's okay. I still love her, though. I love her. Listen, stop playing with God. We can get over hurt. It's a myth. Don't let the devil mess you up with that. Father, I give you praise for this moment, and I pray that as I teach, the myth of church hurt would lessen, that the flame on the candle of love would melt the wax of church hurt. Let it drip, Lord, until it is no more and it doesn't cloud our view. Father, we're not mythical anyway. We don't believe in mythology. We believe in you. And Father, we don't need false gods, and we don't need horoscopes. We don't need to read the constellations. We don't need Chinese fortune cookies. We don't need superstitions. We have your spirit. Father, thank you for the truth in your word. And I pray that even as we confess the word, Father, that it would go forth unhindered and uninterrupted by any satanic or demonic force, and that healing will take place through the word. And Father, I give you praise that our confession of faith is in line with your word. Our soul says yes to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we're going to do our confession of faith, and I don't want you to be lazy speech or engage in lazy speech. I want you to quote it with me with some conviction, because this is how we are. When we do something over and over again, we lose the fervor for it. And I'm going to preach the confession of faith and just break it all the way down, line upon line and precept upon precept, because it's biblical. So I'll help you today. I'm going to emphasize it when I'm teaching. And so I want you to commit it to memory, and that's why we're doing it. So we won't have to put it on the screen, that members of the Truth Revealed clan would know the confession of faith by heart, and that it will be second nature to you. And it should be second nature, because the word is going forth unhindered, and we need to accentuate it and fertilize the word with our confession of faith. And actually, we're turning over the soil of our heart when we confess it. So are you ready? All right. This is my Bible with conviction. It is the word of God. It is God speaking to me, producing life in those who will hear. As I can do, I am all it says that I am. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I choose to agree with the word, and I choose to disagree with any thought, condition, or circumstance contrary to the written or the spoken word of God. I am diligent to act upon what is revealed to me through the word of God, which abides in my spirit. My mind is renewed, and my heart is receptive and ready to receive. I can't quit. There's too much life in me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Your confession of faith. This morning, Pastor and I was listening to some gospel music. It's one of the best things you can do when you're getting ready for church. Is you got YouTube, right? You got YouTube? You know you can program your TV to play gospel music? Do you know you can listen to a genre? Genre? Right, that's a new word, right? It's like a cluster of songs, right? That's a modern word, right? Genre of songs, right? You can program it, and if you put in one song, like with Pandora, Pandora's box, you can open the Pandora's box of music, right? Pandora, but you can make stations that kind of play your style, and if we add God in that. The God piece. You just put in a good gospel song. It'll play songs like that for you all day. And so you can set your mind and set the atmosphere when you get to church, so the ushers and the greeters don't have to break forth and break through your attitude. When you get here, you're already ready to shout. You're already ready to give God some glory. You already got your mind right. I got my mind made up and my woman. And I won't turn back. I'm going to see my Jesus one day. I got my mind made up. And I
won't turn back. Because I'm going to see my Jesus someday.
Oh, my God. I love you all, man. Big hug from the bishop. Big hug from the bishop. I was outside, man, greeting people when they came in. And H came up, and I said, Harry, I said, H, how you doing? He said, what's up, B? I said, B, I can take that two ways now, man. I can take that two ways. But he was saying, what's up, Bishop, right? B for Bishop, right? But his way, he said, what's up, B? I was like, yeah. I said, well, there's an H in the B. There's an H in Bishop. It's the way you see things, right? Some of us get offended. It's the way you see it. He didn't mean anything by that. He was being friendly. I said H, he said B. But if you're in the street now, you say, what's up, B? All right? You don't even have to say the word out. That's a reference to a woman or a man. That's a B nigga. And if I wanted to be offended, I could have been offended. Some of the things we're grabbing is a myth. You hear it all the time, but you can't stand it when it comes from a brother or sister. You act like you've been killed. You act like you can't come to church. Many are saying I was hurt after they get educated. And they don't want to come back to the house because it requires obedience and commitment. I used to go to a donut shop, and actually my first job when I was in the ninth grade, I got a job working at the donut shop, Mr. Donuts it was called. And I didn't know what it required to make donuts. I didn't know what was required. It is very sugary and messy, and you have to clean the floors and everything, right? Because they come in and inspect. We just like the sweetness, but man, it is not, I mean, the ovens and everything, you got to keep that stuff clean. But that was my first job, and I was like, ooh, I didn't know it was that gummy. I didn't, not in the back office, right? You just see what's up front, but it requires a lot of cleanliness, a whole lot, right? And it wasn't efficient like Mr. Donuts is today. It wasn't efficient like Starbucks. I never dreamed of people spending $7 for a cup of coffee. Never dreamed that would happen. But guess what people are doing? Right. I don't care what their budget is. They still spend that $7 for a cup of coffee. Coffee used to be 70 cents. Look where we are today as a society. Anyway, I was mopping in there, and there was an older man in there, and he was mumbling. I didn't know what he was saying. So I said, sir, and he was using profanity at me. You're taking over the country. Go home. Go to Africa. It intrigued me. I was like, what? Did you say go to Africa? Man, I was born in this city. What do you mean? I don't know nothing about Africa. What are you talking about, man? It intrigued me. I was like, why are you so angry? He goes, get out of here. So I sat down next to him with my mop between my legs. I said, are you heating? Like, I said, why are you so angry? He said a lot of stuff. But I chose not to let it get to me. I said, that's your problem. Touch them and say, what you think about me is none of my business. Right. See, we get caught up about what we think they think. But what you think about me is what? It's none of my business. It can't change me. It's just a thought anyway. What do you mean you hurt? What do you mean you hurt? Every child has thought negative things about their parents. Everyone. And every parent looked at that child and said, God, by God, every parent. And if you tell me you never did it, I'm going to tell you something wrong with you now. Everybody had looked at their sister and said, yeah, man, my sister. Or their brothers, I can't understand. This is your family tree. Can't believe they did it. We bring all of that experience in the church, but we can't tolerate nothing. In 130th Psalm, David has obviously gone through a tragedy in his life, a situation that set him back. But out of the depths I've cried unto the Lord. That is, and he says, I cried unto the Lord, Lord, hear my voice. In other words, I'm so distant from you, I don't know if you can hear me. I'm asking you as I cry out loud, hear me, Lord. Sounds like he's in a deep pit. And I don't know if you're going to come by soon. Hear my voice when I cry. I want you to think about being put in a
concrete cylinder with just the window and the top is put on it. You can look out and you can look up, but it's concrete and you're locked in it. And you're hoping that somebody will walk by. Because they were so mean, they locked you up in this concrete pillar that they could actually pour concrete in it from the bottom up. It will fill up until it actually fills up until you can't move in it. David is in a situation, not literally, but emotionally like that, where he's in a cylinder, and unless God shows up, he won't get out of it. See, we got to get to a point where we're desperate for God. It's not just a casual thing. We don't show up or talk to him because we have a need. We talk to him because we love him. And we talk to him because we know he's the only one that can pull us out. So David cried unto the Lord. The Bible says on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus stood in the midst and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." The Bible says he didn't casually say that. He cried, saying. See, we got pontiffs today that like to preach with eloquent words. But real men in God of God are crying out like Jeremiah. It's like fire shut up in my bones because we're living in desperate times and people are falling asleep at the wheel of their life. And if you don't wake up, you're going over a cliff. So we cry saying, "Wake up and get your mind right and let's call on the one that can deliver us." Glory to God. Touch your neighbor and say, "He's got our attention now." Yeah, you didn't come to church to relax. I said, you didn't come to church to relax. I know you like to go to those places and relax, sitting up in the loft and nobody challenging you. You thought, "Well, that was a good service. What did they preach about?" I don't know. I was texting. Not at Truth Revealed. Right. I need you to pay attention. That's why I move like that. That's why I speak like that, because I don't want everybody getting so accustomed that you think you know what I'm saying next. I need your attention just for another 30, 40 minutes. We got to cry out unto the Lord. And David says something like, "Lord, hear my voice. Be attentive to my supplications." There are different ways to pray. You got a prayer of thanksgiving. You got a prayer of praise. You have a prayer where we request things from the Lord. Then we have supplication. That's like a cry. I'm forming a message called Lady Wisdom, and I'm describing this woman that is gifted, but she doesn't have attractive clothes on. She's got her hair pulled back, just one style. But she knows a lot about, she knows a whole lot about poems and poetry, and she knows a lot about She knows a lot about law. And she has a deep understanding about medication. And she knows a whole lot about raising children. And she knows has a deep understanding about God. But because she's not attractive, nobody wants to see her. She's right there, but she's not attractive. And she's saying within herself, "Why couldn't he make me more attractive? Because I got everything they need. But because I don't look the part, they never pick me." And I believe there's some Leahs up in here that weren't selected first. Rachel was. And Jacob only wants to see her at night. But he prefers Rachel. She's got all of the goods. She's fruitful. She knows how to cook. She knows how to make him happy. But when he's with her, he never looks her way. Because his mind is somewhere else. And wisdom is like Leah. What is the lady's name, that's the last name, Angelo, who passed away? She wrote poetry. Right. This is how wisdom is, like Maya Angelou, who's got all of this wealth of knowledge and poetry. But you're not selecting her. She has to prove that she's smart. You want a Taylor Swift. You want the ones that stand out, but not the one that carries something. It's called Lady Wisdom. And I believe she's in the midst of our church crying. And that's one of the things that she does. She never smiles. She's always crying in the streets, saying, how long will simple ones just run for simple things? You get caught up with things that don't matter, like the myth of offense. It can't bring any fruit. It doesn't pull us together, but it dictates how you flow when all you got to do is tune your ear in to what wisdom is saying. Because wisdom knows how to get you out of a hole. And wisdom can teach you how to recover. And wisdom can bring families together. And wisdom can keep church together. And wisdom will make your hair grow long. Glory to God. And it should be worn like an ornament on the top of your chest, even branded on your head. For her price is far above rubies. But where do people go in America? We want more money with no wisdom. And when we get it, we never come to God. Not everybody, but most of us. So deception runs deep. And David says, I can't allow what I went through to keep me from God or from his house. So I need to be attentive to the voice. Make your ear attentive to the voice of supplication, Lord. If you marked my iniquities against me, I wouldn't be able to stand. And all of us need to look deep down inside of our own track record of iniquity before we hold somebody's sin on them. Look at yourself. Amen. Because all have what? Sinned and fallen short. See, this is the power of an offense. It's a myth, church hurt, because you magnify it. It separates you from the main frame. And while you're alone, you will always go after what you're desiring. Your desires are paramount versus God's plan. I got to get my way. I got to get my vision. I got to take care of me because nobody cares. You got to get beyond that because God is always inclusive. He doesn't exclude people or exclude your enemy. That's why you should forgive quick, because God will bless the person you don't like. Let me say it again on this side. I couldn't get any help. God would bless the person you don't like. New house, new car, new business, everything. While you sitting there talking about it can't be, God will pour his favor on them. He pours out blessings upon the just as well as the what? That's why you got to just learn to forgive everybody. If you're ever going to start a business, please forgive everybody. Unforgiveness chokes out your money. Live a life. And that's my next message that I'm going to preach as I close out this series on exposing the spirit of fraud or deception. I'm going to speak on forgiveness, which is the cure. And I went and visited the Western store there on 192, because I may have to resurrect my boots and my gloves and my whip. Because I need to speak on forgiveness and many stripes if you don't do what God tells you to do. I need to come here with my Western stuff and have them playing the good, the bad, and the ugly. And because forgiveness is the final frontier. If you ever get beyond the final frontier of unforgiveness, the whole heaven opens up. So I go rogue like that, and I go powerful like that, and I express myself like that because we're living in desperate times. So you can forgive, right? You think you forgive, but if you still keep on the gloves of unforgiveness, when I shake your hand, you can't feel me. You feel the glove, but you don't feel me. If I have the hat on unforgiveness, I may tell you I'm thinking about you, but really the hat blocks it. Thank you, Jesus. I asked him for wisdom, and he's given it to me. I want you to do it. I was 25 years old, and I said, Lord, give me wisdom. And I started having dreams that my hair was growing long, like a woman. And I thought it was funny, so I got on my knees. I said, what are you doing? What? Because I never had an afro. My father didn't let us wear afros. And we grew up with the Jacksons. So I saw the Jackson 5, Tito, Jermaine, Michael, Marlon, and Jackie. Yeah. And then Randy, the Jackson 6. And in the 70s, the Jacksons were off the chain. They had their own cartoon program, and Michael was singing ABC. I mean, I've never seen anybody like that.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For a replay of today's message, Church Hurt the Myth, visit the media section on the Truth Revealed app or our website at www.truthrevealed.org.
High school seniors, don't miss your chance to apply for the Tuskegee Airmen Scholarship. This program supports future leaders through STEM and STEAM education. Applications are available at the Communication and Promotion Counter and are due Monday, January 26th. For details, email elders@truthreveal.org. Registration is open for Six-Man, the 2026 Men's Advance Reloaded, scheduled for Friday and Saturday, January 9th and 10th. Check out the Truth Reveal mobile app, website, or scan the QR code to register for this action-packed event, which promises to be an unforgettable experience. Take advantage of the combo package, and remember to order your conference t-shirt, polo, and jersey.
Again, thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.
The WWBC 1510 AM radio, the Christian voice of Brevard, has an official Facebook page. Check it out, like our posts, and leave a comment and follow us as well on WWBC 1510 AM Radio.